The song we've just heard refers to the birth, the death, the resurrection, and praise God for the future return of Jesus Christ. Today, the day on my day planner, and many of your calendars, I would assume as well, marked simply Good Friday, is a day that is described in detail in the Gospels. Only two Gospels of the four mention his birth. All mention, in a few pages, his resurrection. But all four go into enormous detail on the events that took place on Good Friday, where Jesus Christ gave himself for me and for you. A little search to the New Testament reveals why. If you've ever read a biography, it's doubtful much time was spent on the death of the individual you were reading about. A few. But not many biographies give much time to the circumstances surrounding the death of the person you're reading about. Why so much said about Jesus Christ and that glorious day? The search of the New Testament reveals that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, a brutal form of capital punishment, took place over the span of just 6 hours. Yet all four Gospels contain some version of these words: the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day, raised to life again. His death, a biblical scholar wrote, was no mere accident, nor was it merely an incident. It was divinely planned. Thus the word, he must die, and 3 days later, raised from the dead. Jesus would say to Pilate the night he was arrested, when asked, "What's this all about?" he would answer simply, "For this." And moments later, "For that, I was born." That's how clearly Jesus understood his purpose in coming. Fascinating to me, incredible to hear those words right out of the Bible, right out of Jesus' lips. For Good Friday, I came. I think I'm coming to the right conclusion when I say Jesus was saying the most incredible and impactful thing about my life was not something I said, nor was it something I showed you. It's something I did for you. Think of everything New Testament readers of the Bible appreciate about Jesus. Sermon on the Mount. Is there anything more profoundly spoken than those words in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The touching of a paralytic person. The healing of a hemorrhaging woman. The forgiveness of a sinful person. All come to mind, don't they? But I'm convinced Jesus would say it wasn't, in fact, something I said, or even something I showed you. It's something I came to do for you. What a difference a day makes. 27 years ago today, my college sweetheart and I exchanged vows and became husband and wife. And everything changed in our lives that day. We went from, both of us, me, to we. Children have that same effect on a couple, don't they? We went from we to they. What a difference a day makes for most. Just a single person, in the same way a single person can get married but never ever quite let go of self, or parents can have a child and never surrender what they are expected and should surrender in the way of their own priorities. So too, not all who come to understand why he gave his life will let it change their lives. Are you one of them? There's nothing new about Good Friday. The facts are firm. The question is, knowing what he did, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Do you get that? I was fascinated by the song that was just sung. I had somebody this couple of weeks ago say, "We've got a great new song." I said, "Oh, it's not so new." Boy, does it remind me of something that remains as true as when I first heard it. You know the facts, and so do I. The question is, have they changed everything about how you live? Remember these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. In case it doesn't register when in a moment or two we make our way to three different places where communion has been prepared, you'll have a time to stand and pause for a bit at the table. And you'll get a chance to actually read these words. But they're from 2 Corinthians 5:15 that says, "Christ died for all, that we who live should no longer live for self, but for him who died and rose again." Has what he did for you changed everything about you, so that we should no longer live for me, but for him? And I would ask you, if not, what's in the way? What's in the way? Consider the contrast between two human responses to Jesus on that day. There was Peter and Judas. Think of what you know of those two. Well, both of them knew Jesus, didn't they? Both were disciples. They were part of a group of men, 12 in total, known as disciples. They traveled with Jesus. They ate with him. They talked with him. They watched and witnessed him. They shared all that in common. They saw and heard amazing things that Jesus did. Peter and Judas. And they both denied him. But that's where the similarities end. Writes one author, Judas, remorseful but apparently unrepentant, accepted the logical consequences of his deed to betray Jesus and took his own life and went down as the greatest traitor in history. He died unwilling to receive what Jesus had come to offer him. Peter, humiliated for denying that he knew Jesus three times, but still open to Jesus' message of grace and forgiveness, went on to lead a revival in Jerusalem that continues to change the world today. Peter and Judas. Which are you? And then there were two thieves on crosses next to Jesus. The Gospels tell us in varying detail about those two. We do know this, they both blew it. And they both got busted for blowing it. Tried, convicted, and sentenced to die for their crimes. But only one was broken and repentant. You remember? Something along this line, Jesus, I beg of you, remember me. Which was his way of saying, forgive me. Find a way to extend life to me, please. But we're told there was a second thief on the cross next to Jesus, who apparently was unrepentant and therefore unforgiven. Which are you? Which are you? Peter or Judas? The first thief or the second? I want to invite you to bow your head for a moment, if you would, tonight. What a difference, indeed, what a difference a moment makes. Tonight, do you see that the great mission and message of Jesus' life was to give himself for you? Do you see that? Not as a historical event, though it was, but as a profoundly personal reality, as it should be. Every one of us in this gathering, every human that has ever walked this earth, is a Peter or a Judas, is a repentant or unrepentant thief. Tonight I want to invite you to meet with Jesus Christ, who came to give himself for you. And I want to invite you to leave your seat in a few moments, to come to one of the stations, whichever one you're nearest, and to take communion, the bread and the cup that both speak of his life. They're meant to remind us. Certain days we rarely need reminding, like today, Good Friday. But as you take communion, I want to invite you to worship the one who gave his life for you, for me. But only if you've gone the way of Peter and the repentant thief. if you haven't repented, I ask you to do so tonight. And then take communion. Or as the Bible admonishes you and me, please refrain from communion. The question is, has Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave His life away for you and for me, become the one that has caused you to no longer live for yourself, but for Him? I invite you to meet with Him tonight. You can make your way to either of the front two tables or the one near the back. Will you listen to me one more moment as I make an appeal to you? There will be overseers down here near the front. There are right now, who would very much be willing, privileged to pray with you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, I got some stuff in the way, Pastor, when you were talking that way. I see the facts of this day, but they haven't really made a change in me. There's something in the way you asked about earlier. And if you'd like prayer tonight, different overseers, Steve Pringles here, Larry McCracken, others, Dan Geist. Just make your way down to the front. They would be glad to sit with you in one of the empty chairs up here and just pray with you. No big fanfare. Just a chance to draw close to each other and to Christ. Maybe you're saying, you know, I'm like Judas, but I want to be like Peter. I want to repent. Then come. Meet with one of them. And then make your way to the communion table. Let's draw near to the one who gave His life away.